Okay, Abba Isai, I'm going to talk now a little bit about Eliyahu HaNavi leaving. And this ties a little bit into what Rabbi Sapperstein was asking yesterday after the Shia. How, in fact, was Elisha able to get from Eliyahu what Eliyahu himself did not have? So the way we explained, it was more of guidance. Wasn't like the Ran. The Ran gave one pshat that when Eliyahu HaNavi left the world, Eliyahu HaNavi got bigger, got greater. And that's how the Drosh HaSaran explains that Elisha was able to get twice of what Eliyahu HaNavi originally was because Eliyahu HaNavi got that much bigger, that much greater. Well, that's a very mechudishtik pshat. We brought down another pshat that's maybe a little more in the Pashtos HaDvarim, which is that it was more guidance. He was giving him guidance and a brocha and hadrocha to be able to be that type of manig that has both. So the question is, if that's the case, why did Eliyahu HaNavi base it on when I leave you? What's the lashon of the pasuk? When I leave you, he told him as follows. He says, Im tira oisi lukach miitach, if you'll see me leave you, yei lecha, then you'll get it. Vim ayin lo yiyeh. It's a very interesting lashon. He said, if you'll see me when I'm leaving, you'll get it. And if you won't see me, then not. What does that mean? See, if he's there, he saw. What does it mean? You'll see. So again, I'm going to give you a pshat. There's definitely Kabbalistic ways to learn. I'm going to give you more in the pshat, how to learn. Posh pshat. It says, Elisha Roya, Elisha HaNavi saw his Rebbe leave him. V'hu mitzayek. And he's calling out after his Rebbe, Ovi, Ovi, Rechev Yisrael Uforosh. This is a famous pasuk. Pasuk that was many times poetically used since then. Ovi, Ovi, it's like a double lashon. Simple, it means Ovi, Ovi means my father. But you say my father, it's a way of saying and expressing love that exists between you. Tremendous love. Ovi, Ovi. The Yalkut Shemini says no. Ovi, Ovi, Ovi v'imi. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Atzal many, many years ago by the Chofetz Chaim's Petire, the Chofetz Chaim passed away. Rabbi Yaakov then was a young Rav in the city of Tzitzvein. That was a city, he was a Rav in Europe, in a very small city. And in that city, he was the one, the only person that gave a hesped on the Chofetz Chaim. It wasn't a very learned city. He gave a hesped on the Chofetz Chaim. And he quoted this Yalkut Shemoini. Ovi, Ovi, Rechev Yisrael. Ovi means Ovi v'imi, both my father and my mother. And Rabbi Yaakov said a beautiful idea. He said, there's a difference between a father and a mother. Talking about a devoted father and a devoted mother. A devoted father, a devoted from Ben Torah, is very worried about the ruchnius of his child. How's he learning? How's he davening? How's he did? He's worried about the ruchnius of his child. A devoted mother, of course, is worried about that too. But she's worried about the gashmius of the child. Is he eating properly? Is he sleeping properly? The father also wants him to eat, but the father's focused on the underlying by nature. Rabbi Yaakov always gave a dugma. He said, in Europe, it used to be if a kid didn't want to eat when they're young, you want the kid to eat. So the mother would try to stimulate the kid to eat. So the mother, how would she motivate him? She would go to the kid. So if the kid is Yankif, if the older brother is Yankif, right? And the younger brother is, I'm not going to say Shalom, because I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about anybody here, right? And the younger brother is Baruch. So the mother will turn to Baruch and say, Baruch, eat the potatoes. If you don't eat the potatoes, I'm giving it to Yankif. So then the kid, oh, somebody else is going to get it. That's not. Like a Pchaim, famous Maaser of Pchaim. Pchaim said, When Yistam gave a psak that you have to throw away the animal, it's treif, nobody had a problem with it. It could be worth $10,000, doesn't matter. But when he said, you're chayiv to give him $100, all of a sudden you're cursing out the b'chayim. Because Yen is getting the $100. I'm ready to give away $1,000. So Rabbi Yankov said a gevaldik vote. He said, so what used to happen was the mother would turn to the kid and say, Baruch, eat the potatoes. Otherwise, I'm giving it to Yankov. And the kid would then start eating the potatoes. And the father would be sitting by the same table. He goes, oi, you're teaching my kid kinne. The father is thinking about kinne, the ruchnius part. The mother says, I got to get the potatoes down. Father's thinking, okay, he'll go to sleep without supper, but don't teach him kinne. That was his way of uptaging. So when he spoke about the Chofetz Chaim, he was giving a hesped on the Chofetz Chaim. So Yankov said, the Chofetz Chaim is given the tate und mame from Klal Yisrael. He said the Chofetz Chaim was both the father and the mother of Klal Yisrael. He was a Zag Godel. He was worried about the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. And the same way he was worried about the Gashmius of Klal Yisrael. Just on a footnote of that mice, I'll tell you that he was a Jew in London. I heard the story from a famous Bunim, Olav Shalom, who heard it from his father, Irving Bunim, that there was a Bochel. Well, years later he was in London. I'll tell you what happened to be when he was a Bochel. He was in London. He was a banker, a very wealthy fellow, and he supported the Koilel, I think, of Rav Lapian, Zecher Tzadik Levrach. He was the main supporter of the Koilel. Very wealthy banker. He wasn't even a religious Jew. A traditional man, good man, wasn't a religious Jew. So he said every Purim, they used to go and bring him Shloich Manas, and it was Leibedik. And the guy would enjoy, talk to the boys and learning a little bit. So one year the boys decided to ask him, what made you support the Koel? You're a secular banker, supporting a Koel. What's going on? He said, I'll tell you. It all goes back to when the Chofetz Chaim didn't take me to Raden. I got turned down from the Faher. What? That should be a reason why you're negative. See, when I was a young kid, my mother took me to Raden for Faher. He said, I had shaykhs to go in Raden like my Aunt Hilly. I couldn't learn in Raden. But my mother heard of Raden. She took me to Raden. Chofetz Chaim sat down with me. And he saw right away by the interview that I'm not going to fit in. Not doing me any favor to take me into the yeshiva. So very nicely he told me, explained to my mother and me that I should go to another type, maybe a more basic, and then eventually, he said, eventually you'll come to Raden. Anyway, it was already late in the evening. Chofetz Chaim right away said, but where are you going to sleep tonight? The guy said, I don't know. He's sleeping by me. Gave his mother, there was a place across the street for the mothers to sleep, and the boy slept in the Chofetz Chaim's house. Put him up in the attic, put him in a room. In the middle of the night, it's freezing. He's very cold in the room. In Europe, heat was very scarce. Freezing. He had a blanket. He was cold. All of a sudden, it's 3-4 in the morning, the door of the room opens. He's a short man. Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim came with his blanket. He put on top of the bacha. This is the bacha that he didn't take into yeshiva. Put on top of the bacha, he should be warm. And he walked out quietly. The bacha acted like he was sleeping, but he saw what happened. He said, that blanket, that kept me warm for Torah my whole life. The blanket from Chofetz Chaim. That's the Chofetz Chaim. So Rabbi Yankov said, the Chofetz Chaim was the Tata Mame from Klal Yisrael. He said, that's what Elisha was saying. His relationship with Eliyahu Novi was Ovi V'imi. He had this relationship with Eliyahu Novi, was both Ovi V'imi. That's what he was being masked. So now I'm going to tell you like this. Going back to the question. Oh, so it says what? So the Pasuk says here, now he writes Kriya. His Rebbe left, he writes Kriya. It says, he grabbed his garments, he ripped it into two kroim. The Gemara actually discusses this. It says here in the Pasuk, we know when a person, Nebuch, loses a relative, a close one, a loved one, there's a din of kriya, the rice kriya. If you're there at the time of the Yetzias Neshama, so you rice kriya at the time of death. If you're not there at the Yetzias Neshama, So then there's a concept called Yirais Kriya by Bishas Chimum. When you feel that loss, when you feel that sadness, that's when Yirais. It's different times. Sometimes they do it by the Levaya. Sometimes they do it by the Kfuya. Shas Chimum. So here, Elisha saw his Rebbe leave. Yirais Kriya. But it says, Shnei Kroim. So the Gemara has a kashin made cotton. What's the Shnei Kroim? So the Gemara says, there are certain relatives that when you rise kriya, like a father and mother, you're not supposed to re-sew it properly. It's supposed to always stay torn. You could stitch it. It's Amos Achim. So the Gemara says in Meir Cotton that Rabbi Shalom de Chochma, if your Rebbe taught you wisdom, that kriya has to stay. You never fix it. Right? You tag it back together, but you can't fix it. You can't reweave it properly. Right? And this we learn out from here. So I often wondered, it's a strange limud, forgetting why it is like that. Why you never allowed to stitch it. Why do we learn it from here? I mean, here this wasn't even really a death. That was the whole discussion we had yesterday. It wasn't even real misa. Why would the Torah teach us the din of kriya on your Rebbe from a place where it wasn't even misa? There's always a reason. When you find a drasha like this, there's a reason. There's many reasons, but there's always a reason. I often ask a question. We're going to have it in a couple of weeks. You know what? We're going to run out of time if I go there. So let's leave that out. So I'll tell you what I think we could say here. There's a gevaldige Baal Shem found in Maseches Be'er. Beautiful Baal Shem. Baal Shem Tov says like this. The Gemara in Maseches Be'er after Zion learns out that every Jew on Shabbos gets an Neshama Yisera. Every Jew gets an Neshama Yisera. Okay? Every Shabbos. The Gemara says, how do we know you get an Neshama Yisera? The Gemara says, it's a pasuk. It says, Ubayim Ashvi, Shovas Vayinofash. Says the Gemara, what's the Vayinofash? Vayinofash stands for Vey of the Nefesh. Woe, Vey Nefesh. Whoa, we lost a soul. That means after Shabbos, you lose a soul. Obviously, it means you get an extra soul on Shabbos that you lose. That's why we smell besamim. What's a Shabbos? Because since we lose the Neshama Yisera, the besamim is machazikas. It's like you're trying to rejuvenate, getting some besamim. Okay? What's the obvious question? Frek the Baal Shem! Why does the Torah teach us about Neshama Yisera? Like this, backwards, the Torah tells you, Motzei Shabbos, you lose the Neshama Yisera. So now we know, by process of elimination, we know, you must get the Neshama Yisera on Shabbos. Why does the Torah say clearly, you get a Neshama Yisera? It only talks about losing the Neshama Yisera. So listen to the Gevaldige Pshat from Baal Shem. It says the Baal Shem, how does one get a Neshama Yisera on Shabbos? How do you talk to get one? Many people go through Shabbos, unfortunately, it's like another day. How do you get a Neshama Yisera Shabbos? Zok Tehelik Baal Shem. You know how you get a Neshama Yisera on Shabbos? You get a Neshama Yisera on Shabbos if you realize that after Shabbos, you don't have a Neshama Yisera. So you look at Shabbos as an opportunity. If a person doesn't focus that they have an opportunity and they're going to lose it, they don't cherish it the same way. So how do you get a Neshama Yisera? Vei Avdo Nefesh. If you're aware that after Shabbos you don't have a Neshama Yisera, then you'll get a Neshama Yisera. I made a simple observation when I was growing up. I was zeichet to be a neighbor of Rabbi Yankov Zatzal. Rabbi Yankov gave shiurim. Very small island. Sometimes teeny. Sometimes a handful. Sometimes two handfuls. Sometimes a half a handful. Small group. Once Rabbi Yankov was nifta, I said, imagine if I would put up a sign today, Rabbi Yankov's coming to give shir. Talat Kanfei Zoros, people flying from Eretz Yisrael. Yankov's giving shir. The Teretz is, they didn't look at it like it's something they're going to lose. When you look at something that you're going to lose it, you gain much more from it than if you look at it like it's always going to be here. The Meila, how do you get the Neshama Yisera? If you realize there's a way of doing it. If you realize that after Shabbos there's not going to be Neshama Yisera, Eli HaNavi told his Talmud, what I'm going to give you now is so hard to give over that the only way for you to get it is if you see I'm leaving you. Then you'll be able to peek in what you're being makabel from me. You're going to realize it's an aveda, then you'll be able to hop it. If you'll see me going away, if you'll feel the fact that I'm going to be leaving you, then you'll be able to hop again. Rabbi said, I can tell you, unfortunately, I deal with people, Nebuch, in good times, and in good times that are not easy, and when people lose relatives. I can tell you, when a father or mother tell a child something when they're on their deathbed, the child protects it like l'olmei oylamim. Why? I heard this from my relative, from my father and mother on their deathbed. That's like Kodesh Kadosh. Kodesh Kadosh. And I say it with of course, with the cover to people that are nifta. Sometimes things they tell their kids before they die, not necessarily so Kodesh Kadosh. I was dealing with a person that was doing something that was very not good after the parent died. And I was trying to get them to stop. It was the way they were treating another relative. I heard it from my father on his deathbed. Okay, it's a big deal. The best thing you could do, Lilu Nishmasi, is not to listen to him. But there's a certain... Why is it like that? Why is a father, mother tell you something when they're alive and well? Jump in the lake. I heard this. I heard on the deathbed. Why? Because the deathbed, you realize there's an aveda. Then you accomplish something on a different level. Then you internalize it on a different level. And that's our job when we're, first of all, first and foremost, in yeshiva. If you look at yeshiva as an opportunity, a lot of times a person sits in yeshiva, especially if you have a winter's amount of two adars, wow, that's long. Tell me what you're time. It's a long zman. I mean, in a Reuven, it just flies by. It's a long zman. Some people look at yeshiva, their countdown is to Ben Azmanim. The famous of Shmuel Rozovsky that I've said over in yeshiva. He used to say, you know, because the way it went was, as this man got closer to the end, guys started coming later to Seder, arriving. Like some guys come second Seder at 4:15, 4:10. Not here, of course, in Aruvin. I'm saying there are such people. And then they start leaving the Seder early. So Shmuel Rozovsky said, you know how Ben Azmanim happens? He says, those two Zmanim start changing. People start coming later, and they start leaving early. He says, when the two Zmanim meet, that becomes B'chalois Ben Azmanim. That's the creation of Ben Azmanim. The person's in yeshiva, they look at it like, I'm in yeshiva, I have years in yeshiva. If you look at yeshiva as something you're not going to have, then you'll grow on a whole different level. You look at yeshiva every day like, oh, when's the next Ben Azdorim? Even if you're listening to your Rebbe, even if you're learning with your Chavrusa, you're not getting it. You get it when you realize it's an opportunity that you're going to lose. You're not always going to have it. Then it's a whole new level. And that's what you have to take from this separation between Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha, that he was able to get at that moment when he felt that his Rebbe was going to leave, he was able to get a whole new level. Perhaps that's the pshat in the kriya, that you don't sew it back together. It's a way of showing that the loss of a Rebbe is something that's not replaceable. It can't be fixed. So where do we learn it from? From here. Because here is where Eliyahu HaNavi said that when I leave, that's when you'll be able to get the most. So that's where we learn this din of creed. Okay, stop.